The Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg LeSeer, and the message today is titled, The Christian's Peace in a Troubled World.
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about peace. The peace of the Christian, and especially peace in the midst of a troubled world. You think we can have peace as Christians when outward circumstances are so adverse to us and things seem a storm? Does the world seem like it's a raging storm today? And can a Christian have peace in the midst of it? Can you have peace? Do you have peace in a troubled world? And where do we find it? What's God say to us today about that through His holy word, the scriptures, for our comfort and for our help in Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, let's just consider this. If you look at the world today, how would you characterize it? Would you characterize the world we're living in right now as a peaceful world or a troubled world? Really? Yeah, I'd agree with you. You know, there's all different ways to look at it, of course, but it certainly seems today like the world is a tempest. It's got raging waves, a great turmoil, up and down it goes, the fierce waves of a stormy and troubled sea. You know, if you think about it, we've got a storm around us in the world right now in several ways. First of all, outwardly, right? If you look outwardly at what's going on in the world, from the virus to the lockdowns to the breakdown in civil unrest to government overreaches to liberties being cut short to marriages being divided and hurt and homes broken up and families and churches and even our bodies, those are an outward storm, aren't they? As we get older, we wish everything were just like a mighty rock, and yet they seem to be breaking apart like a crumbling statue. You know, outwardly, as we're Christians going through this world, we're going through an outwardly troubled, dark, and stormy sea. One way to look at it, nasty waves. And then secondly, we also have inwardly, right? I mean, there's the peace that's outside, but there's the storm also inside. You know, in most people's hearts in the world, if you were to see inside of them, it would be a dark and stormy ocean. There's no peace. They are disturbed by the things outside that they're having trouble dealing with. There's great anger and angst and fear and frustrations. Sure, lots of frustrations. Disturbances and discouragements and foreboding and insecurities and trouble. There's war inside of people. How about your hearts today? Am I looking at a placid mountain lake settled in the mountains, reflecting the majesty of the surrounding country? Or is it a dark and troubled sea? There's trouble inside of human hearts today in the world, a stormy sea. So you've got the outward, you've got the inward, and you've got relational too, right? There's a lot of storms when it comes to relationships. There's the storms people have in people setting against each other. You've got the deep staters versus the patriots, right? And the patriots versus the deep staters. The globalists versus the citizens. The citizens against the globalists. You've got the U.S. against China and China against the world. You've got divisions in communities, and then homes. You've got husbands and wives relationally are often a great storm, a dark and stormy sea, raging wave. You can even see that trouble with parents and children, children and parents, and between churches and in churches. There are storms these days, and so there are troubles relationally in the world. Storms as well. No peace. And what do you think? If we're looking at the world and it's stormy, at least from one way of looking at it, are things going to get better or worse? You know, I don't know exactly, but I do know that the weather predictions of Scripture say that in the last days of this world, this is the weather prediction, that the stormy winds are set to increase, the barometer is to drop, the winds are to howl, and the waves are to rage the fiercer, a dark and stormy sea. For we hear in the last days, this is very clear in Scripture, 2 Timothy 3, in the last days there will come times of stress. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, reckless, and such things going on, says Paul. So that's kind of scary, isn't it? That we're going through a very stormy, troubled, dark sea right now, a great storm, and it might, exactly, thank you, it might even increase. Very good. So why is that, though? Why are we living in such a troubled and stormy world filled with storms and strife? Why can't we all just get along, you know? I mean, why can't we just have peace in the world? Wouldn't that be lovely? Well, there are several reasons for that, why we can't be a placid mountain lake, but we must be a troubled sea. Number one, it's because there is a war and a storm going on above us in unseen spiritual places. You know this, that we're in the world, but we're not carrying on a worldly war. And in the spiritual places, we are battling, says Paul, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, princes of darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And above us, there are angels of light fighting against angels of darkness. So if there are storms above us, there will be storms on the earth. We're feeling the repercussions of the battle down here. Secondly, there must be a storm and troubled sea in the world because of man's sin, because it just creates trouble. The evil in people's hearts leads to all this trouble. Listen to how God describes it in the Old Testament, Ezekiel. Peggy, you love Ezekiel, don't you?
Yes, amen.
Yeah, all right, Ezekiel 2. This is a good summary of the world. God says, "Behold, the princes of Israel in you, everyone according to his power, have been bent on shedding blood. Father and mother are treated with contempt in you. The sojourner suffers extortion in your midst. The fatherless and the widow are wronged in you. You've despised my holy ones and profaned my Sabbaths. There are men in you who slander to shed blood, and men in you who eat up the mountains and commit lewdness, etc." So, sounds like a pretty good description of today, too, doesn't it? How are you going to have peace on earth if that is the kind of attitude and character that's in the hearts of men? If there's evil in hearts, then there's going to be trouble in the world. And God says in Jeremiah 32, "Therefore, all this evil has come upon you." So, there's war above, there's war in hearts, and there's war also in people's vertical relationship with God. And that's really the number one reason why there must be storms and troubled seas on this earth. Wild waves and gale-force winds. Because man rages yet still against God. You know, God is a God of peace, amen? He would establish peace. "Would that you knew today the things that make for peace," Jesus said, "but now they're hid from your eyes." God is always working to bring peace, and yet, and he's done all that for us in Christ, and yet the world refuses to come to him. They rage against him vertically with evil in their hearts, and therefore there has to be a storm on this earth. Jesus said of the kingdom, he says, "A nobleman went into a far country to receive a kingdom and then return. Calling to him 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 pounds and said to them, 'Trade with these till I come.' But his citizens hated him and sent an embassy after him, saying, 'We do not want this man to reign over us.'" So what does that parable teach us? Jesus is the nobleman. He goes into the far country of heaven. He gives to us Christians, the saints, talents to trade with. But the citizens of the world hate him. And they say, "We do not want this man to reign over us." So even if God would give peace to the world and has accomplished that for us in Christ at the cross, The world does not want him as king, and therefore there must be trouble, and a state of war yet exists between God and man on account of man's evil heart. And listen to this description God gives of those who are evil, those who do not come to him in Isaiah 57. Of the wicked, God says, "But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot rest, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." So we're talking about peace today, and God says, when it comes to wicked people who refuse to come to me, there's no peace for them. They are a stormy sea, and therefore it must be so. So let's turn directions here a little bit, and let me ask you this question. Can you, as a Christian, though, have peace in the midst of a troubled world, a stormy and wild sea? Can you do it?
Yes.
Absolutely. Can we do it in the midst of hardships and calamities?
Yes.
Can we have peace in troubles and dangers?
Yes.
Can we have peace in wars and strife?
Yes.
I love it. You guys are so Pentecostal. We're in a Lutheran church, but you're answering me. I love it. You know, the world is stormy. But we can face all these things as Christians with a serene composure, a steady eye of security, and a calm resolution. And how? It's through God and Jesus Christ. Because the peace that we need more than any other peace from which all other peace flows is our vertical relationship with God. And what God has done for you and me, and we've entered into it, is we have a solid covenant of peace through the blood of Jesus Christ, a peace that passes all understanding, says Paul, to the point that even if everything around you and outward circumstances are trouble and storms, inside you and vertically with God, there is a solid, quiet peace, like a placid mountain lake reflecting the glory of the mountains about, like a mirror. Think about what the Bible says again. We were all at one time in a state of war with God. We were all like the wicked, the tossing sea that cannot rest. Its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. We were all at one time a total storm. But God promised in days of old that he would change that for us. Let's read in Ezekiel 37 for our refreshment today. Verse 24 and following, God says, "My servant David," this is speaking of Jesus, "shall be king over them. I will make a covenant of peace with them." Say peace.
Peace.
A covenant, a full, steady relationship of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant that God won't remove. "My dwelling shall be with them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people." So God knew that you were in a storm, and he says, "I'm the God of peace." And even of old, he promised, "I will send one to you who will make peace vertically between God and man," that man being David, my king, who is Jesus Christ, to settle peace between God and man. Let's read it again in Psalm 85 for our refreshment. "Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, to those who turn to him in their life and their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that glory may dwell in the land." What do we read in Christmas time? "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given," and what's his name going to be?
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen, Vivian. Jesus is the Prince of Peace for you. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there's going to be no end. God will establish it upon the throne of David. So God, right now, this morning, has established peace with you vertically with himself as your Father. He's done so through Jesus Christ. And I'm going to open up and read this passage, and we got to listen to this very carefully for our encouragement today. Colossians 1. "You, who once were estranged and hostile in mind," what's that mean? You were at one time in a state of war. with the Lord, right? You were once estranged and hostile in mind. That was for all of us. We were doing evil deeds. God, it says, has now reconciled us in his body of flesh by his death to present you holy, blameless, and irreproachable before him. For in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Oh, isn't that lovely? That you have peace through the blood of his cross. What gives you peace then, Michael? His blood. The blood of his cross. Because our sins made war. They had to be atoned for. His blood saves. His blood atones. His blood redeems. His blood makes peace between us and God, that we can now enter into reconciliation, friendship with the Almighty, that there's no more war for a Christian between you and God vertically. That is totally established in peace. And you should rejoice in that today. Again, making peace through the blood of his cross. Romans chapter 5. Listen to this one for your encouragement right now. Romans 5 says, therefore, since we are justified by faith, having believed in Jesus, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, in a troubled world, a stormy ocean, a threatening tempest and sea, do you have peace today? Yes. Vertically, it's already established this way, total quietness and trust. Because Luke 7, Jesus says to the sinful woman, great in her sins, she came to him, your faith has saved you, go in peace. He is the Lord of peace, and he has established it. It's as if Jesus has stepped onto the boat of your life in the midst of a troubled ocean and said to the waves, peace, be still. And there's a great calm. So already, Christians, I'm telling you, in your hearts and lives today, there is a peace that the world cannot know. A peace that passes all understanding. A peace that has been established through the blood of Christ, where the state of war has become a state of peace between you and God. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, this is the peace from which every other peace in your life is going to flow. How does this actually affect the other pieces? Well, frankly, it does everything for us. Because, watch this, if I have peace with God this way, and I have trouble this way, the trouble this way doesn't bother me if I have peace with him, for if God be for me, who can be against me?
Right.
If God's in my boat, I'm going to make it through the ocean. I'm going to make it through the storm. I can look at these things with a quiet resolution, a calm and steady eye, if God is with me. What does Jesus say? He says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled and don't let them be afraid. That's what our God, the God of peace, says to you today. I'm in your boat to see you safely through. You don't need to be afraid. Which means the peace we have vertically with God translates into peace now inwardly in our souls, that there is no room left really for fear. Not that we don't get concerned over things in life, but there's a deep and abiding peace that no matter what happens, it's going to work out. Because God's for me, who can be against me? I have said this to you, Jesus says, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. You have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In your heart, good cheer through peace that comes from God. There's quietness in you. And actually, it makes everything lovely. I shared this with my dad and mom last night. We were remembering a great adventure I had with my dad when I was in second grade, 7 years old. We decided to go sailing one day on a very, very stormy day. It was blowing 20, 25 knots. And we were in a little tiny sunfish. You know what that is, right? 14-foot boat. And we headed offshore to Monomoy Island off of Cockle Cove Beach in Cape Cod. And maybe we weren't so smart in those days. I don't know. It was blowing. And we were heading like 4 miles out into the ocean. And he gave me the tiller, even little seven-year-old Greg. And we were plunging, surfing down the waves, plunging the entire sunfish under the water, that we were becoming a submarine. And it was a very stormy day, but I wasn't afraid because my dad was with me. And I knew it would work out. It's the same way when we go through life. It's a stormy world we have to sail through, but God is with us. We know it's going to work out okay. That's peace in a troubled day. We tried to tack or turn the boat around, finally when we decided we should head back to land. And the waves were so built up at that time, we could not bring that boat around. And I started to get afraid. And I remember saying, I don't know if I'll ever see my sister Karen again. And Dad says, don't worry, we'll see Karen again. We'll get home. And I took courage from that because my dad gave me the word, and I knew that Dad being with me will make it home. It's the same way with God. And we did sail back. We finally made it back to Stage Harbor Lighthouse, about two, 3 miles up the beach from where we had started off. We couldn't get to our home, but we got to the Stage Harbor Lighthouse, finally came ashore. We're safe ashore. And we hid down underneath the rocks of the jetty and finally got out of the wind, the howling wind, hunkering down together, father and son. And Dad and I, to this day, and we said it last night, count that as one of the greatest experiences of our lives, the intimacy of a father and a son in an adventure together. Of course, we also remembered last night that my mom looks back on that still with stunned disbelief. That her husband could bring a seven-year-old son of hers on such a harebrained and dangerous, reckless adventure. She rues that day yet still. But we count it the best. And so, you know, that's the way it is with us and God. When we have a relationship with him, where we're going through storms with him, where we're going through troubles with him, it's a great day. And the wind is quieted and hushed by his presence. And the white caps just become an adventure for us. Because, well, if God be for me, who can be against me? We have a peace, I'm telling you today, that the world can't know. There will be tribulations and troubles in this life. But if God be for you, who can be against you? And this is what the saints have always felt. David was a warrior. He fought many a battle. He had so many enemies against him. But he writes this: God, in the covert of thy presence, thou hidest me from the plots of men. Thou holdest me safe under thy shelter from the strife of tongues. David, with God his father, hunkered down behind that jetty by that lighthouse, the howling winds overhead, and it was a father-son together in quietness in the midst of a storm. He will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He'll conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high upon a rock. Stephen felt the same way. You know, this guy's about to be killed. The Jews were slandering him. They ground their teeth against him, thirsty for his blood to stone him to death with stones. But Luke records, gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Total heavenly light of peace settling upon him, even when he's dying. Because, hey, it's a father-son adventure. It'll work out because God's with me. Paul and Silas were thrown into prison after having been beaten, and their feet were fastened in the stocks of the inner prison of the dungeon. And yet at midnight, they were praying and singing hymns to God. That's a peace that passes all understanding. The world can't know, because they know God is going to make these things work out, for he's with me. Even outside of us, God calms our storms. Did you know that? When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. It's sort of like oil in troubled waters. Even as we sail along, he pours oil around us in a troubled world. And though the waves are all high around us, the oil makes it quiet around our own habitation where we're sailing. And if the storms come, we know many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. You know, if we live or whether we die, we're the Lord's. We have peace the world can't know. Today, for me, at this very moment, Beth is in the air flying to Boston to see if she needs another brain surgery. Naomi is about to go on a trip to Albania in internationally troubled times. My parents are facing challenges as they get older. My dog, I found out just the other day, with her injury in her tongue, is having trouble, perhaps won't even be able to eat or drink that much longer. I've had two elders, whom I love very much, go home to glory recently. I could say, right now to you, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. And yet, I don't. I'm like, the Lord, somehow, I know, will work all these things out. Because is it not the God who puts the stars into the sky, calls them all out by name, who is great in power, and because he is, not one of them is missing, is it not he who is with me on the boat to make my storms be still and to see me safely through and to ultimately bring all of us, myself and my family and you, to his heavenly shores? So there's a calm inside of me today, even when, yes, I'm troubled, I feel the concerns of these things, but down deep in the deeper parts of the ocean, I have peace. You know, God makes peace with us vertically, calms our storms. He calms the inside of our hearts to peace. He calms our relationships with each other as we forgive others as he's forgiven us. He calms the storms outside of us like water on a troubled sea. And he is leading us now, sailing us to a great place of peace to come in his kingdom, to the shore, to the lighthouse, to the jetty, to the rock, to the fortress, to the kingdom. For God says, you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. The trees of the field clap their hands. My people, this is the promise, will abide in peaceful habitations, in secure dwellings, in quiet resting places. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, says the Lord, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed from you, says the Lord who has compassion upon you. O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in antimony and lay your foundations with sapphires. It's a stormy world, true, but God does not abandon us to it. He is with us in it all. It is a father-son adventure. Therefore, I would say to you today, enjoy the journey with him and be at peace today until that day when all troubles cease, all storms calmed, and we abide in his kingdom with him and with our friends and loved ones, even that into forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Christian's Peace in a Troubled World, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, and we're covering the book of Revelation. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. To hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at christlutheranchurchcapecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.